details on the tax man.
And it's a very good morning to New South Wales Labor Shadow Treasurer Daniel Mockey. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Richard. Thank you for having me on.
Look, you're not a fan of this option that's been presented by, well, the legislation entered New South Wales Parliament this week, this giving first-time buyers an option of either paying the stamp duty up front or an annual land tax. Why don't you think it's a good idea?
Because I think the evidence is mounting that it's not going to work to lower property prices and therefore make housing more accessible. And equally, it will hurt family budgets. This tax lasts for as long as you stay in the property. If you stay in the property forever, then this tax lasts forever. It goes up when property prices go up. People are effectively going to have to bet that their wages are going to go up faster than the property prices. Otherwise, it's going to chew more and more into their disposable income. And then, of course, this is a policy which I think the Premier should be taking to an election in March. I don't think he should be trying to rush it through in the 10 days left of the Parliament this year.
Well, it has been a bit of an obsession. You pointed out this out in an opinion piece in the Sydney Morning Herald. You said, beware the difference between a politician hotly pursuing a necessary reform and a politician in hot pursuit of his or her ideological obsessions. And you're of the opinion that this land tax business is an ideological obsession of Dominic Perrottet's, Daniel?
Well, Mr. Perrottet has made it no secret of the fact that he'd like all residential properties in New South Wales to eventually transition to a land tax. Just 2 years ago, he said he wanted 80% of properties into a land tax system. Then in July this year, he made it clear that he'd like pensioners to be the next group nominated for an introduction into this land tax model. And when I asked him point blank in September whether he would refuse to rule out extending this land tax beyond first-time buyers to pensioners, he point-blank refused to give that guarantee. So there's no doubt that certainly this is an example of the Premier, I think, thinking he knows best. And I think he's been openly campaigning and crusading for a land tax on all property prices. The model that he has now starts with first-time buyers, but I don't think it's going to end there.
Okay. Well, look, the model he's presented and the way he's presented it is saying that stamp duty can be an obstacle for first-time buyers. Obviously, they've got to come up with a deposit, and then as well, and I think the figure that was bandied around is, you know, maybe $50,000 or $60,000 for the stamp duty, and obviously that is an obstacle. So just, you know, when it's simply presented like that, I've also heard people say, and this is where I'm a bit confused, that you could pay off that over, you know, 4 or 5 years, but you're saying that this land tax will be every year.
Yes, to be clear, I think it's crystal clear that this is an annual land tax. But I do want to acknowledge lots of people who want to buy their first home work very hard to save the money to do so. I think that the Premier has been perhaps giving people half the information they need to weigh this up, because the other point here is that if you look at the in the year 2020-21, which is the year we last had the data for, there were about 55,000 first-time buyers in New South Wales. 49,000 of them were either completely exempted from stamp duty or got a concessional rate as well. I absolutely acknowledge that it is hard for people to save there for their first home. But that's why I think that the Premier should have spent a lot more time thinking about how we modernise that exemption system than he has planning a whole new tax.
Right. Well, your leader, Chris Minns, I heard him a couple of days ago saying, look, we don't want a new tax. We don't want any tax.
Well, we certainly would like to see first-home buyers, more first-home buyers, pay no tax when it comes to acquiring their properties. And we will have a lot more to say about that between now and the next election. It is important to make sure that when you have systems that exempt people from stamp duty, that it stays close to market conditions, and equally that it is fit for purpose. And so we would have much preferred to see a proposal like that than we would to see a proposal to introduce a land tax on family homes, starting with first home buyers, that will last forever for those buyers if they stay there.
All right, but do you think, you know, if you sit down and talk about it, there's maybe a way of getting this across the line with certain modifications?
I think that the important thing is for the Premier to give the people of New South Wales a say about his policy. I accept, of course, that the people of New South Wales will be asking us for ours too. But that's why we have a democracy. And I think that the right thing for this Premier is not to try to rush this through the parliament in the last 10 days of sittings in October and or November when there's an election in March. I think it's interesting that this morning there's reports emerging already about all the horse trading that Mr. Perrottet is prepared to do with minor parties like One Nation, the Animal Justice Party and the Greens, of course. I guess for most people that shouldn't come as too much of a shock, but I think rather than the Premier desperately trying to do deals to get this through the upper house, I think he'd be wise to allow people to have a say.
All right. And look, while we're talking about tax, I know it's a federal issue, but I'm quoting here, people in New South Wales would welcome that. And state Labor leader weighs in on stage 3 tax cuts. Chris Minns has finally weighed in on the future of tax relief after his shadow treasurer refused to commit to support for the Commonwealth stage 3 tax cuts. You're not in favour of certainly...
No. I think that was a bit of a distortion of my position. I was just very clear here. I very much supported Anthony Albanese at the last election, and I hadn't seen him at all shift from his position in respect to stage 3. I think it's a good thing that the federal treasurer has been talking with people about the challenges that the federal budget has encountered, of course. But in a scenario in New South Wales where people are having to deal with skyrocketing electricity prices, rising tolls, wages that haven't grown in real terms for a decade, I absolutely would welcome anything that would provide people with cost of living support.
Right. The other issue that's been a hot topic, and certainly with my listeners, Daniel, is this reintroduction of the warning signs for mobile speed cameras. And Chris Minns again has said, look, and I agree, I mean, they obviously have these warning signs because they were there 2 years ago. The government has said, look, we've reacted to feedback from New South Wales residents and we're going to reinstate these warning signs, but not until January. Are you of the opinion that they should, if they feel it's the right thing to do, why not bring them back today?
I think they should. I don't know why it's going to take so long to get these signs back up. I would hate to think that the government got rid of the signs altogether and therefore has to go out and buy a whole new bunch of them. But I think that lots of people have felt that this hasn't really been about road safety, because I think it's safer for people to know that there is a speed camera there than it is for them to get a fine in the mail a couple of weeks later. I think lots of people have thought that this is about revenue raising. Of course, the government has reached the right position finally. I know some people are cynical about them doing that just months before the election, but better late than never, I say.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, they obviously have them, and as I've said on a number of occasions, it's surely simply a matter of throwing two of those in the boot of every mobile speed camera and bingo, you can do it straight away.
Yeah, time and time again, whether it's, you know, I don't know if people remember, it was the flagpole on the Harbour Bridge, but now it's this as well. Time and time again, I don't see why the government keeps tying itself up in knots when it comes to these issues, which are relatively straightforward.
There have been a number of protests that have really inconvenienced drivers, and we've had them up here on rail lines. The classic one was, of course, earlier this year that brought the Sydney Harbour Bridge to a standstill, and there seems to be a bit of a division within state Labor over these tough anti-protest laws. According to reports this morning, the left faction of your party is set to call on Chris Minns to hopefully help repeal these new penalties. Do you have a view on that one, Daniel?
Oh, look, Chris Minns made it clear to the government the first time we started to see these protests that we were happy to assist in terms of establishing laws to respond. When these matters have been debated in Parliament time and time again, just even this week, in the last sitting weeks, we've made it clear that people have a right to go to their jobs, to use our railways without fear of interruption from these protesters. So that certainly hasn't changed. We're a robust party. There's always debates that happen in our party, but Chris Minns' position on this is pretty clear.
Shadow Treasurer, New South Wales Labor's Daniel Mookie.